Sarah Gon, good afternoon to you.
Hi, Simon. How's it?
All good. And I'm, chomping at the bit to know what are the three reasons for the failure of Kibbutz Socialist?
Okay. The reason I was looking at this, was because, I was looking at why socialism fails and how many countries have failed trying to apply socialism as a political system. And I looked at a couple of articles, and one dealt with the fact that probably the three most successful socialist countries were the UK, India, and Israel. But what it ultimately said is that these three countries eventually had to move away from socialism to a more free market system in order for their economies to grow. And then I had a look at, what's happening now is that there's the momentum side of the Labour Party in the UK is kind of looking at the kibbutz system as an ideal or an idea for how socialism should be put in place. And so I was kind of curious because I know that kibbutzim very much go with the founding of the state, but that had dwindled to a very, very small sector of the Israeli population. And I was curious as to what it was that had caused them essentially to almost fail. And basically there seemed to be three issues. The one was very powerfully was the fact that families in many kibbutzim, probably until relatively recently, children were separated from their parents. And they could spend time and visit together, but they could not stay together on a 24-hour basis. And over time, this became a bone of contention, both for the parents who wanted to be with their children, and the fact that the idea of separating children was to create perfect or near perfect little socialist, which has a rather macabre ring about it. But it was basically the human need for family to be family.
Yeah.
That was one element. The other element, which has its, obviously its funny side, is the fact that women really hated having to share clothing. In other words, it wasn't sharing as such, but whatever was cleaned, women took to wear. They did not have their own clothing to wear. It wasn't part of the ethos.
Wow.
And it conflicted with the sort of, I suppose, the individual identity.
Yeah.
And the sense of, well, this is mine and I want this to be mine and I want to look and feel in a certain way. And the third is the one that perhaps makes them, really is the clincher. And that is the fact that people started to get kind of cheesed off with the fact that they could work very hard and put in a lot of ingenuity into what they did, but they would get out the same as people who either had little ingenuity or didn't work very hard at all. And it was the natural instinct of, if I work hard and I'm prepared to take the risk, I want to achieve the benefit and I want to be able to give it to my family and share it with my family. And it was only once this sort of ethos died to a certain, to a predominant extent, and the fact that Israel, like the other countries, the inflation had grown very high, exports weren't good enough, so the economy generally was not growing. And America said, we will loan you money to get you out of this mess, but you have got to make free market reforms, which were largely recommended by Friedman, the economist. And eventually, Israel had no choice. It had to liberalize. And within a year, 400% inflation came down to 20% inflation. And the rest, as we know, is history. So the bottom line essentially is that socialism is counterintuitive to human beings.
Well, there you go. Now that I'm going to steal for a talk topic for next week, Sarah Gon. Thank you so much.
Because
I think that's going to get them going. I have no doubt. We're going to run out of time, but I want to thank you for your input.